Welcome to Tea, Toast, and Trivia. Thank you for listening in. I am your host, Rebecca Budd, and I am looking forward to sharing this moment with you. I am delighted that food blogger Carol Taylor and I are connecting Thailand and Canada to discuss food, travel, and celebrations. Carol is an amazing food blogger who shares authentic recipes and tips on how to shop local for fresh, natural ingredients. As a strong advocate for our environment, Carol believes that we can all make a difference. She says that change starts with us, from within ourselves and our homes. I invite you to put the kettle on and add to this exciting conversation on Tea, Toast, and Trivia. Welcome, Carol. I am thrilled that you have joined me today.
Thank you, Rebecca.
I love the title of your blog, Retired, No One Told Me.
Retirement has offered me the freedom to explore new horizons. And do we really retire? Personally, I don't think we should. For me, it's an opportunity to follow our dreams. Some people, it's just an opportunity to put their feet up, I suppose, and that's fine. I think it's a time to learn or explore the things you never had time to do when you worked. I've got six children. I've always worked full time. I just think retirement's a time to do what you want to do. Years ago, when I was young, my friend and mentor, and she's no longer here anymore, she was a very straight-talking lady who didn't get married until she was in her 40s, and she never had children of her own, and my children were her children. One particular Christmas, they were coming to us, and she spoke about a lady who had nobody, and I said, well, bring her along. There's always room at my table, and she did. Wonderful lady who'd driven a tube train when she was 70 years old, because once she retired, she done the things that she'd always wanted to do. But I think what she got off of it was when she got out of the cab, which she probably made a grand entrance out of the cab, I'm guessing, knowing her, she just loved the look on the commuters' faces. But it's something she wanted to do. And I think a parachute jump was the next one. She was an amazing lady.
Your tagline, tonight I dream, tomorrow I do. It's something that says there is a possibility of dreaming and doing, and it can come together, as you say, planning.
Yes, I think you need to do an element of planning, but also an element of let's just do it. If it fails, then you learn, and maybe second or third time, you do it properly. I'm not perfect by any means. I have some monumental disasters in the kitchen. That's it, really. I just think, try what you want to do. I once always wanted to be a driver. My husband told me, you would not like it, Carol. And I got the opportunity to do it. I lasted actually 2 weeks, but I got it out of my system. And I no longer wanted to be a driver for anybody.
You write that I am having so much fun researching, finding new, authentic recipes, both Thai and international, to share with us. How do you conduct your research, and how do you find those special recipes that you bring on your blog and that you try?
Any which way I can, because it's an eclectic mix of people wherever I've been, whether it's been Australia, Thailand, Malaysia, wherever. Hand signals, speak, smile, listen. I find the markets. I walk and I look for little street stalls. The tuk-tuks, quite often they'll have their lunch hanging up. If I don't know what it is, I ask. If I know what it is, I let them know. And sometimes they'll give me things. You know, they've got a bag of fruit there that I've never seen that they've picked from their backyard. And they give me some to try. And then I come home and I look it up. If I can't find it, I send a picture to my daughter-in-law and she normally can tell me what it is in English and Thai. And the internet and blogging, it can open up a world for you. Today, after this, I'm going to be cooking some biscuits that Ali on another blog gave me the recipe for. So Lily and I will be making cookies. And I do like an ABC search, particularly on my Saturday snippets. Just have a word or two words and put A in, and you'd be amazed what comes up, and something that you haven't even thought would be connected comes up. That takes me off on another tangent, or I discover I did not know that was connected at all. And I come up with something else, and I think, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that is. And it goes in Google. I go everywhere. It's just amazing. And then the research starts hours later when dinner's not ready. Luckily, my son does a lot of the cooking. My son and my grandchildren live here as well. And I'm quite often just a sous chef. And so Alan might say, oh, do you want potatoes done? And I say, yes, please. So he'll get the potatoes, he'll peel them. Lily always wants to chop the mushrooms, and she likes breading, if we're doing any breading, the egg dipping and the bread in it. We all cook. Our kitchen has never got one person in, because everybody just knows what's being done.
There is a great deal of discussion around buying in season from local markets. We live busy lives and are tempted, at least I am, to find a quicker way to organize our dinners, like ordering take-in or dining out. How would you encourage us to enjoy shopping for fresh and natural ingredients?
As I grew up within a farming community, my granddad was a farmer, my uncle a gamekeeper, and a bit of a poacher on the side. My dad grew everything. My mother and my grandmother cooked from scratch, and I spent all my school holidays with my grandmother. She taught me how to cook on an aga. I personally have had an advantage. And the other advantage, I suppose, is I've got six children, so that was eight of us, notwithstanding any of their friends who come to dinner. To go and buy four jars of pasta sauce, I couldn't do it. You know, just pure affordability. So I had to make it, and I worked full time. And the rule in our house was whoever got in first started dinner. I mean, Alan's been brilliant. He doesn't cook, but he will do veg. He will wipe up. He will do anything but cook. He'll turn an oven on. So I feel I had an advantage. And for many children, they grew up on TV dinners, parents who fed them on takeout. They may have eaten strawberries all year round. We all know strawberries don't grow all year round. They've never tasted fruit and vegetables in season, and the taste is so much better. And I believe the environment and foods go hand in hand. And I would say to people, if you believe that, then please check out your local farmers' markets. Learn to recognise how different food tastes when it's in season. By local, it's often cheaper. And learn to appreciate that first crop, those first strawberries, and remember that taste. All my children cook. I can see they're teaching their children to cook. So it has a knock-on effect. They should teach children more about home economics in schools. And hopefully then the children will go home and encourage their parents. The internet has opened that up. My grandchildren come to me and say, Nanny, I've just seen this recipe. Can we do it? Okay. So children can be the catalyst.
Carol, tell me about slow cookers.
I have always used a slow cooker. When I had all the children, I used to put porridge in at night. Alan got up 5 o'clock. He could have a bowl. Kids got up in between 7 and 8. They could come and help themselves to a bowl. It was hot. It wasn't stuck to the bottom. Brilliant for making porridge in the winter. Plus, I've always worked. So then I could put it on in the morning, whatever, whether it was a casserole or a chili or whatever was cooked when we come home. And if somebody was late, it didn't matter because it kept it warm. Again, it doesn't burn. As I say, I'm a brilliant saucepan burner. Absolutely, even now. And my husband is brilliant at cleaning burnt bottoms off of saucepans, I will add. But I'm very good at burning things. That is because when I get in front of the computer and I'm researching, I forget I've put boiled eggs on. Because my saucepans I have had for 20 years. I paid a lot of money for them. I brought them with me. They are like new. Even when they've been burnt, he gets them brilliant. Absolutely.
You have a strong commitment to the environment series entitled Your Environmental A to Z. How has that influenced your food preparation?
Food and the environment, as far as I'm concerned, go hand in hand. And I'm also very much thinking about that at the moment. And yes, I've got more time now. And I know a lot of people have because of COVID. And so many bakers have come out of the woodwork. I bake bread every day. I use a Nigella recipe and I know it off by heart now. To put it on first thing in the morning, put my timer on. In between, when it goes off, I go down, give it a knead, set it again, come back up, do my research, goes off again. Timers are a wonderful thing. So I cook in between what I'm doing because a lot of that time is proving that bread.
Carol, do you have a garden?
It's not a big garden. I've got fruit trees. I've got like jackfruit and mango and banana. I grow a lot of herbs. And we've got chilies at the moment, and they're beautiful. Yeah, we have got a small garden, but you can grow anything in the hanging basket, grow bags, pots, windowsills. I use all of it. I'm also looking at the benefits of the solar panels at the moment, and I just came across them quite by chance when I was researching the other day, and I thought, oh, wow, because Alan made me like a cage so I can sun dry my tomatoes. But you do have to make sure it's covered and bring it in because of the rain. But I think a solar oven would be great for that. You can get a dehydrator for them and you could do wonderful sun-dried tomatoes is the hope. But I want to research it a bit more. But yes, it's just using solar panels. I don't know too much about it at the moment. I'm just starting.
When you think of food, you think of it in terms of all of your senses. Your sight, the sound, the smell of cooking. Carol, tell me what it's like to go and shop at an open-air market.
Well, there's only one word, wonderful. Here, I've got 4-5 markets within walking distance. If I'm looking at something, I'm offered to try it. And if I say I like it, it goes all around the market. And then they say, oh, my pet, which means not very hot. And I go, no, pet. And they go, oh, Madame likes chilies. I speak a little bit and we just use hand signals or I pick something up and show them. It's wonderful. Coconut milk, they make it fresh on one of the other markets I go to, Tesaban. They just grind the meat out of the coconut and then it comes out as this wonderful milk. I don't make my own Thai ones because they make them fresh on the market. So I just go and buy it. I can taste it because you can try a little bit and see how hot it is because they do vary depending on the heat of the chilies. Because the heat of the chilies, the same with limes, they vary the year and the season. Although they grow all year round, if the sun's a bit stronger, then they'll be a bit hotter and your limes might be a bit juicier at certain times of the year. I send that to my son in the UK. They all like the curry paste, so I get some every so often and send it to them. It is a little bit of an art cooking here. Everything's stir-fried. Trial and error when I cook, so I do have to allow for that. I'm quite good now. I've learned the hard way. I can suss out a recipe whether I think it'll work. And there's probably just a few bloggers whose recipes I will try.
What about the fish markets in Thailand?
Fish markets are, again, wonderful because the fish is either dried and it will be dried in the sun, or it's fresh, it's still alive, and they'll descale it for you or cut it as you like. If you want them to gut it, they will. I've started eating barramundi because the Australians eat that, and I quite like it when I've been looking for white fish that has got a bit of body to it.
I enjoy following your blog, Carol, because I have found that your love of travel has influenced your exploits in the kitchen. How does travel influence our food choices?
Well, as you've probably gathered, I'm adventurous and I will try most things once. And doing that opens up the world wherever you are. We're the locals eat. How many times have we heard that? Ask if there's an ingredient you don't recognise. Ask what it is. Ask where you can get it. I mean, travel brings us into contact with different ways of cooking, different foods, unusual foods, foods we know but cooked in a different way. When we went to Tunisia, the sand was used as an oven. And why not? At London's Borough Market, I learned about mushrooms and different cheeses. The stallholders would cook the mushrooms and talk about the mushrooms. And bread, they'd talk about it. You know, stallholders like to talk, especially if you're talking about what they're selling. I think the markets are the best way to learn about food, and particularly when you're travel, because markets are different everywhere in the world.
As we leave our conversation, which I really don't want to leave, would you come back on Tea, Toast, and Trivia and share your insights once again on the joy of food?
Of course, I would be delighted to, Rebecca.
Any last words?
I am passionate about this because it's really made me hopeful. I believe that Indigenous people know more than we do about the environment, and we need to listen to them. I have been watching the Earth Shop Prize. It's wonderful. It's the brainchild of Britain's Prince William and Sir David Attenborough. They're looking at alternative ways of farming, and on the programme, they looked at Brazil, and we all know Brazil is extensive with their cattle farming. One of the farmers was there, and he actually admitted that he farmed wrong all of his life. He approached one of the indigenous people that he knew. He listened to them. He worked with them. And they have put tranches of land, sectioned it off, and they rotate the cattle and also have natural bits in between. So the cattle only graze that bit of land every 3 to 4 months. So they're moved on quite quickly, which means in those 3 to 4 months, the land recovers. It was absolutely marvellous seeing it, but marvellous seeing how that farmer said, this actually works, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing because I'm learning. Where before the sun parched the land absolutely bare, they're learning all about irrigation, and it's turning their lives around. Where they had parched land and their crops were dying, they're not now, and that has to be the future of farming. What they're doing is they're issuing prizes over the next 10 years of £1 million to the winners. It takes them a year to obviously explore all of these people. And these Earthshot films, there's 5 of them, and 6 was the first year where they awarded. And then they get professional people to help them work their brainchild. And it was absolutely fascinating. You've got this little village in the middle of nowhere in India, and now they've got electric and internet, and they're sharing it. They can sell their excess internet. It's all to do with solar and all different things, and these little boxes that someone's devised. And so they can get an income from it if they're making too much and sell it to their neighbour who hasn't got enough, so he buys it. And when they had the presentation, it was a green carpet instead of a red carpet, push bikes to provide the electricity to run their equipment. Everybody had to wear recycled clothes, including the prince and the princess. It was totally environmentally friendly. They're taking you there, they're showing you what they're doing. And these are just people who haven't had the advantages, but they listen to the land, they listen to the people, and things that don't cost a lot as well. And they've obviously got a wonderful brain that can devise something. And it was wonderful to see it. Absolutely wonderful, Rebecca.
Thank you for joining Carol and me on Tea, Toast, and Trivia. And a special thank you, Carol, for sharing your love of food celebration, community, and the environment. You have inspired me, and I know that you have inspired others to head back into the kitchen, to enjoy the goodness of food, and to take care of our world, our home. Listeners, I invite you to meet up with Carol on her blog, Retired No One Told Me. It is a place that welcomes us to share a meal, taste life, and live respectfully with the environment. And until next time, dear friends, keep cooking, keep safe, and be well.